The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about telling lies.
There's no more hunger, no need for shelter. Isn't there enough to share? Or is it that we just don't care? We're here for a day or two. Let me show my love.
First, what date is today? Today, Thursday, is the 16th of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the first of the month of Mehr, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Ma'idah, verse 119.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Qala Allahu hadha yawmu yanfa'u as-sadiqina sidquhum lahum jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anharu khalidina fiha. رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك الفوز العظيم.
Allah will say, this is the day when the truthful will benefit from their truthfulness. For them are gardens in paradise beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever, Allah being pleased with them and they with him. That is the great attainment.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Concerning the reward of the truthful ones, the Quran talks about material and spiritual rewards. Concerning the reward of the truthful ones, the Holy Quran says, for them there are gardens beneath which rivers flow. More significant than the blessing, which is of the material examples, there is this blessing that Allah is well pleased with them and they are well pleased with Him. There is no doubt that this great merit, which is inclusive of material and spiritual merits, is counted the great salvation.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever.
This is today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about telling lies. The Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, whenever a believer tells a lie without having any excuse, 70,000 angels will curse him. A bad smell comes out of his stomach, which will reach the heaven. Those who carry the throne, angels, will curse him. God will write for them the sin of 70 commitments of adultery. Some men came to the Messenger of Allah saying, tell me about a virtue which entails the good of this world and the hereafter. The Holy Prophet said, do not tell a lie. The man said, I was in a state of disobedience that God was not pleased with me. I used to do all evil things, but I abandoned them all, lest someone may ask me, did you commit so-and-so evil act? I had either to commit sin and saying yes and be disgraced, or I had to tell a lie which was against the instruction of the Prophet. So I abandoned all the kinds of sin.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the abominable consequences of telling lies in Islam. We find that in the Holy Quran and in the Islamic instructions, it's indicated that telling lies is incompatible with belief and with being a good believer. We find that in Islamic instructions, we find that there's a piece of hadith related from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that, is it possible for a believer to be coward? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, yes, it's possible. Yes, I mean, we find that even in our daily lives, we find that some people are really good believers, but they are not that much courageous people. At times it happens to them that, I mean, they appear to be coward. And then he was asked, that is, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, would it be possible for a believer to be a liar? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, no, never. We find that according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, لا يجد العبد طعم الإيمان حتى يترك الكذب حتى يترك الكذب. Nobody experiences the sweetness of belief, believing in the Islamic religion and in the and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until they abandon telling lies. So we find that telling lies makes the liar not experience the sweetness of faith.
IRIV English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا عليك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
There you go. There is a tip for you to break a lying habit. Ask yourself if a lie is really necessary. Sometimes situations come up and there really isn't a linear and straightforward way to handle them. Some suggest using skills like intuition and timing, or even tracking how conversations pan out before deciding what you'll say and how you'll navigate the path ahead. The decision to be truthful is one you have to make yourself before you make the choice to lie or not. Consider whether your actions show respect for yourself and others, support everyone's best interest, not just your own, and might have future consequences. What are virtues of telling the truth? Truthfulness is commanded by Allah as a part of faith and is an indispensable quality of the believers. It is mentioned in over 100 places in the Holy Quran. Some examples are when Allah Almighty says that Allah may reward the truthful for the truth. Holy Quran, chapter 33, verse 24. O you who have believed, fear Allah and be with those who are true. Chapter 9, verse 119. O you who have believed, fear Allah and speak words of appropriate justice. Chapter 33, verse 70. Some
people don't lie, but they exaggerate. Some people, they have the habit of rounding to the nearest hundred. If it's 60, they'll say 100. If it's 150, they'll say 200. If he was delayed in traffic for 15 minutes, they'll say, I was delayed for 3 hours. Well, this is also a form of lying. This is an exaggeration. Some people, they don't make up an entire story, but they exaggerate it. Exaggerations. Mubalagha. Well, this is not acceptable as well. We have a hadith that say, don't exaggerate. Exaggeration is also a form of lying. There are some people that lie to individuals. They lie to their parents. They lie to their children. Husband lies to his wife. A wife lies to her husband. There are others that lie to nations. They don't lie to individuals. They lie to nations. Like some of the media. Open some channels. And you see, it's plain lying. They lie to their people. They lie to their nations and countries. This is a worse form of lying. For example, look at TV channels like Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera. They take a small story and they blow it up as if there's a catastrophe. But they're not lying to individuals, they're lying to nations and countries. But no one comes in and calls them. No one comes in and says, you're lying. Of course, these channels, Al Arabiya and Jazeera, they're serving an agenda. And that agenda is a Zionist agenda. They're serving Israel, basically. Just like the governments who support the governments who support these channels. Those governments are supporting Israel, and these channels are supporting Israel. Have you ever seen these channels attack Israel? No. They only attack specific countries, the Shia countries. Never ever do they have reports against Israel or the atrocities or the violations of human rights in Israel. No, no, no. Their coverage is always against the Shia in Iran or in Iraq or in Syria or in Lebanon, these places. It's obvious that these channels are serving Zionist agendas.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder over a famous saying narrated by the Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. Faith with conviction is to depend upon God, submit to him, consent to his acts, and entrust him with all the affairs. Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We've spoken about tears, we've spoken about poetry. So these are things, you know, that require a certain effort. To cry requires a little bit of effort, you know, some people have to force themselves to cry. And so on and so forth. But in this tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which is a very famous tradition, and it's a very important tradition as well, because the Imam himself at the end mentions the importance of tradition in the way that it should be written. And his tradition is like this. The Imam says that Nafasul Mahmoom li dhulmina tasbihun. He said that breath, or that sorrowful breath, that breath that has anguish in it. For what? For the oppression that has occurred on us, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That, just that breath, just that inhaling and exhaling, because of the anguish that a person has for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, is a tasbih. Is a supplication towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can also be said it is a form of bay'ah, a form of giving your oath of allegiance to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And the Imam continues and says that, and his grief for us is ibadah, is an act of worship. An act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hopefully will accept because of who we are doing the act of worship for. That is the reason why this act of worship is being done. That is for the grief and the oppression and the anguish of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, the closest of individuals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the last one, an imam says that, and his concealing our secrets is jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are certain things within the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam that are not for everybody. You know, some people are able to understand them, some people are not able to understand them. Some people shouldn't even be told them, because if they are, you know, they will not take it in the right way, or they will make a mockery of it, or they will use it in the wrong way, and so on and so forth. But the secret here is, you know, not something that is easily understood, unless you actually know what the secret is. But what we can understand that there are certain things that should not be told to everybody. And then the Imam says to this companion, and he adds that this tradition that begins with Nafasul Mahmoom, this tradition and all the things that come after it, in terms of the tasbih, the ibadah, the jihad, the Imam said this tradition ought to be written in gold. That the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt and the Muslims should write this tradition in gold and place it somewhere where they are able to look at it, ponder upon it, and then act upon it. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to act upon the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to you, dear audience of this program. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several parts, all pertaining to the Holy Quran. At first, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Noble Quran, and then we are going to listen to him reciting some verses of the Holy Quran, preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Apart from these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic parts too. So stay tuned.
كتاب الله
كتاب الله
كتاب الله.
Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Sattiq al-Minshawi. He was the first reciter in Egyptian radio who was accepted as a radio reciter without being tested by any expert of recitation in the radio. When Sheikh Muhammad Sattiq al-Minshawi became famous in reciting the Quran, the radio requested that he would go to the radio station in order to record his recitation. However, he, like his father, turned down this request. As a result, the radio director sent a crew to record Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq's recitations in one of the gatherings where he was attending. This was the first time in the history of Egyptian radio that the radio production crew were sent to the place where a reciter was reciting the Quran. Now it's time to listen to Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi reciting Surah Ad-Dukhan from the very beginning to the end of verse 8, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. Ha-Mim. By the manifest book that makes things clear. We sent it down on a blessed night. Verily, we are ever warning. Therein is decreed every matter of ordainments. A decree from us, verily, we are ever sending messengers. A mercy from your Lord, verily, he is the all-hearer, the all-knower. The Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them, if you have a faith with certainty. None has the right to be worshipped but he. It is he who gives life and causes death, your Lord and the Lord of your forefathers.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Dear audience, you are still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Ad-Dukhan from the very beginning to the end of verse 8, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, this recitation by Sheikh Minshawi was entirely in Maqam Jaharka, which is the Arabicization of the word chahargah, which becomes jaharka, because, you know, in Arabic you don't have cha and ga. So they've made it jaharka, which means the fourth maqam.
And chahargah is Persian word.
It's a Persian word, yes. From Persian into Arabic. Okay, ha-mim. We have matul lazim. In the first verse.
Talking about
Tajweed. Yes. Because there's nothing else we could say about the maqamat, because it's entirely in maqam jaharka.
Okay.
Hamim. This is matul lazim. It's huruful muqatta'ah. And how do we know that huruful muqatta'ah has to have matul lazim? We have to look at the name of the letter and see how many letters that name has.
Mm-hmm.
Ha has only two letters, so it can't be a one of the letters that has to be pronounced with matul lazim. Meem, on the other hand, has three letters and a ya'ul mad in between the two memes of the word meem.
And the final meme is sakin.
Yes, it's sakin, because huruful muqatta are always sakin. Anzalnahu.
So sorry, within one word, we have a sakin letter preceded by a long vowel. This is why we have matul lazim.
Yeah, the cause of the mad is
sukun.
Moving on to the third verse. Inna anzalnahu. This recitation was also entirely in the qira'ah, actually the riwayah of Khalaf an Hamza.
Not Hafs an Asif.
Not Hafs. This is also a very authentic qira'ah. And Khalaf an Hamza has certain rules which are different from Hafs. The most obvious one is the sect which Khalaf an Hamza has.
Yes, we talked about it previously.
Yes, Minshawi says inna anzalnahu. He stops and then continues without taking a breath.
Yes, without
this
taking
is called
breath.
Sect. In Hafs we also have sect, but in other parts of the Quran, not whenever there is a long vowel or a sukun. We have sect, for example, in the verse وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقَ كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ. So instead of saying وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقَ, we say وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقَ.
That's a kind of exception, actually.
Yes, it is.
Because automatically, yeah, because Ra is one of the Yarmalun letters, Idgham should take place.
Should take place, but yeah. it doesn't.
It's an exception, as I
yes,
said.
Yes, because it changes the meaning a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, moving on to the tajweed again. In the word anzalnahu, we have ikhfa of nun sakina. In the phrase mubarakatin inna, again, we have sect, because we have a short, we have a sakin letter followed by a hamza. This is the rule of Khalaf an Hamza. Whenever there's a sakin letter followed by a hamza, you have to make the sect on the sakin letter.
And ilhar of noon.
And also ilhar of noon, yes.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned.
If you want to understand why Imam Khomeini was so much passionate about the Quran, not only to get reward from the Quran, but to get light and guidance from the Quran, and why he was thinking that the Quran is the prescription for removing all the illnesses and all the problems that we have, you cannot do justice unless you are equipped with his philosophical and mystical understandings of the Quran as well. I would like to share with you few quotations from him from different books that give us, inshallah, first a better understanding of the significance of the Quran. In his book Adabus Salat, in this book, which is originally written in Farsi, but it is also available in different languages, on page 37, the late Imam Khomeini says, بزرگترین رحمت‌های الهی قرآن است. This sentence is very brief, but it's very, very important. We know that the Quran introduces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, ذو رحمة واسعة أرحم الراحمين خير الراحمين. About 600 verses of the Quran, as we surveyed, directly refer to God as being merciful. And this is in addition to the verses that describes God as merciful by using verbs. Just the nouns and adjectives that relate to God's mercy is about 600. And mercy of God is by far the most frequently mentioned quality of God in the Quran. It's even more than his knowledge, more than his power, more than his justice. It is rahmah of God, which is emphasized on in the Quran. The first thing is that God is the absolute mercy. And then the Quran says he did everything, whether it be creation or legislation, out of his mercy for us. He provided us with what we need also out of his mercy. Everything goes back to his mercy. But then Imam Khomeini says, among all the things that God has provided us out of his mercy and rahmah, the Quran is the greatest rahmah that Allah has given humanity.
That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
Justice in the school of thought of late Muhammad Ridha Hakimi is the absolute justice. Justice for all the world. Justice for human being. So when Allama Hakimi is trying to give this justice, he says that I should drive out this justice from ayat and riwayat.
Maktab Tafkik is holding this view that we have to separate between these three: philosophy, mysticism, and religion, meaning Quran and Ahadith. Okay. So when someone wants to seek the truth, he cannot benefit from the other two approaches, meaning Irfan and philosophy, because these two school of thought are man-made and they are subject to errors.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher. I'm your host, Atta. Within the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Mahdavi and Shaykh Ziaini. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh Mahdavi, and welcome to your show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Ziaini, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to your show, the teacher.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Recently, we have missed one of the great scholars of Islamic studies, the Shia one,
in Iran, he is no one but the late Mohammad Reza Hakimi, a polymath, according to what the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, called him, a person who had research in many fields, especially the Islamic studies, religious studies, literature, and somehow I can call it the social studies, also were among his main important research fields. The late Mohammad Reza Hakimi passed away on August 2021, coincident with Muharram 13, 1443. May Allah bless his soul and may he rest in peace. That's why we decide to dedicate some of our episodes of the program, The Teacher, which is about the most outstanding scholars of Islam, to this outstanding man, a person who was called the philosopher of justice. His studies, I mean, what is interesting about the late Mohammad Reza Hakimi is that I think he looked at the Islamic studies, the Quran and Hadith, as a way or a path which can reform a society and which can culminate into a type of justice, which is, of course, the final goal of the pure Muhammadan Islam, Islam al-Nabi Muhammadi. And Mohammad Reza Hakimi was one of them. I think Mohammad Reza Hakimi is among the scholars who very much believes in the applied sense of the word of the religion of Islam and not presenting something only in theory. Is it true?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, late Allama Hakimi was a figure who believed in Islamic rules as the injunctions that must be implemented in life to vanish and erase poorness and poverty from the world.
That's right.
So that's why he believes that the pillars of Islam, the most important ones, are Tawheed, the unity of God, and then Adl,
that's right.
Justice.
That's right.
So he tried to use Ayat and Ahadith, the verses of the Holy Quran and the narrations of Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to solve this dilemma.
That's right.
And to find a solution for this dilemma. That, what is the solution? What is the way to pass this, you know, wars, these problems of life?
That's right.
So that's why he comes to this idea to write a book, mm-hmm. that is Al-Hayat.
That's right.
Means life.
Okay.
He names his book as Life to say that I'm trying to give an idea regarding the life of human being,
okay.
to solve his problems.
That's
because,
right.
you know, after World War II, human being came to this idea that, okay, we have to be either in capitalism,
that's right.
or in communism.
Communism, that's right.
We had some other countries that they were called third world countries.
Yes.
They had no other choice but to join each of these two.
Either one of these
and
two.
They were,
right.
And they were trying to choose.
That's right.
They have not chosen yet.
Yes.
So Allama Hakimi is living in those eras.
That's right.
So that's why he decides to write a book,
mm-hmm.
to give an idea to solve the problem of the life of human being.
Along with his two brothers, Ali and Muhammad Hakimi, who wrote this book. I think we have to dedicate one separate session to Al-Hayat and
yes.
the main content of this book. But as you said, I mean, the mindset of Hakimi is absolutely clear through this book, especially this book. I mean, his magnum opus, Al-Hayat, which is life, and how social justice and individual freedom can be achieved and actualized in a society according to the Islamic rulings, especially based on Ahadith and the text of the Holy Quran. Very good. Sheikh Mahtavi, let's get to you, brother. What other details can you give us about the personality of or the personage of the late Mohammad Reza Hakimi?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you mentioned, brother, he is regarded as a multidimensional personality. So besides being a thinker, theologian, or justice seeker, or a distinguished author, we have to say he was a good poet. And among his poem, one of the well-known poems that he composed and addressed, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah.
Oh.
So it's really nice to know.
Really?
He was, yes, he was.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was so much attentive to the issues, right now going on the ground that he is addressing Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah,
okay,
the leader of the Hezbollah movement in Lebanon. And back in the time, we see that he composed a letter and address Fidel Castro.
Oh.
Yes, and this is another dimension of his life. That when we look at someone like late Allama Muhammad Reza Hakimi, and we say that he addressed Fidel Castro, the leader of Cuba, we might be thinking that what does this author, Muslim author, has to do with a leader?
Okay.
Far away from Iranian.
Right.
Yes, specifically in that time, the people didn't have this access to information and media and TV.
Yes.
So in his letter, he is addressing Fidel Castro and talking about two pivotal points: justice and unity.
Oh.
Al-Adl wal-Tawheed. Yes. So it's really strange, but main thing, if we wanted to understand why he is addressing Fidel Castro and talking about these two important things, we have to say that his main concern on these two important and significant issues with respect to the society and community. If you want to lead the society, we have to give your main focus on these two things.
That's right.
So that's why he is addressing Fidel Castro and talking about the justice. And we see that even in Iranian, among Iranian nation, among Iranian elite people, he is known of Filsuf Adalat Khah, or the philosopher of justice.
Philosopher of justice.
That here, when we are talking about philosopher, we don't mean the technical meaning of philosopher.
Okay.
Because the technical meaning of philosopher has something to do with philosophy itself.
Yes. But he is a thinker.
Yes,
it's better to say he is known as the thinker or a scholar whose one of his most important concern is observing justice in a society. He has also did this in his book, Menhaye Faqr, minus poverty or without poverty, or a society without poverty. This is the ideal society that Hakimi is looking for.
Actually, he authored more than 50 books.
Yes, 50 books. In this regard, he has also so many books. I mean, on the other scholars, you know, in commemoration of the other scholars, but his most important method of research is dedicated to this field of study. And how Sheikh Ziyaniyah, the Quran and Ahadith could help Hakimi in this regard?
You know, the idea of justice, because is a slogan that everyone is attracted to it. So that's why anyone who wants to attract people to himself or to his school of thought, he wants to use this slogan.
That's right.
So that's why even the oppressors also are using justice.
That's right.
They say justice, but they meant justice for ourselves, not for all the people.
Okay.
So that's why if we take a look in the school of thought of capitalism, you may find justice in some parts of the society.
Okay.
But justice about African countries, there is no sign of it in that school of thought.
Okay.
Justice about the countries that are ruled by tyrants, you can find no sign of it.
Or the colored people, the minorities, we can say that's right. Okay.
So justice in the school of thought of late Muhammad Reza Hakimi and also other great figures of Islam like Imam Khomeini and the other figures in those times is the absolute justice.
Okay.
Justice for all the world.
Yes.
In a word, justice for human being.
Okay.
So when Allama Hakimi is trying to give this justice, he says that I should drive out this justice from the original source. What is that?
Okay.
This is the divine book, Holy Quran.
Yes.
And the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who are in relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are connected to the infinite knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why Allama Hakimi is trying to derive out justice from ayat and rivayat.
That's all right.
And he insists on this point that we have to focus on these two.
Okay.
And if we want to use our intellect, we should use it in this way, trying to understand these resources.
And it is not the case that some people like Hakimi are against rationality. They are not.
For sure it is not the case. Okay. Because
and the rational sciences. But they say that you have to use rationality and the rational sciences in the service or when serving the divine ones like the Quran and Ahadith and so on. Okay.
You know, it's a very big story here.
Yes.
The debate between philosophers and other thinkers.
Yes.
Even we can say the some thinkers against philosophers.
Yes.
They believe that, okay, philosophy is a knowledge, but this knowledge is completely separated from Islam.
Okay.
Some thinkers believe in that.
That's right.
Maybe we may put Allama Hakimi in this category. Okay. That he was believing, okay, we use rationalism, we use intellect, but we are not going to use philosophy in its technical meaning.
In its technical meaning and per se for solving the problems of the society, that's why he is belonging to the Tafkik, a school of science.
Yes.
So Tafkik here means the separation of the Holy Quran Ahadith from the other possible methods that might be helpful in solving the problems of a society, including it could be mysticism or philosophy, as it is defined in technical
and the form. Mindset of late Hakimi is that this philosophy is something totally imported into Islamic society from the Western society.
Okay.
I mean the Greece.
Okay.
So that's why he believes that, okay, because this is nothing originally rooted in Islam, so that's why I should put it out, push it aside, and then I just use Quran and Ahadith to drive out the idea of the Islamic society.
Well, what's your comment on that, Sheikh Mahdavi, on the Tafkik school of thought, or as he calls it, Maktab Ma'arifi Khurasan? It means Khurasan school of knowledge, or something like that. What's your take on that? What's your comment on that? I mean, the late Hakimi belongs to this school of thought.
Before we deal with this question, I think we have to have a short introduction on this point. And this is about how we are trying to know about the truth or how we want to reach cognition.
Okay.
Shanacht.
Yes.
Or waqa'iyat. This is a very important question that from the early moment human being come to this earth was facing. So we see from that moment till now we have at least three approaches in order to get response to this question.
That's right.
One is philosophy. Through philosophy, actually philosophy could be traced back to rationality and principles generated from the reasoning and human intellect.
Yes.
Another approach in order to get the response for this question is mysticism.
Or Irfan.
To go through some certain processes in order to enjoy some sort of intuition or shahud.
That's right.
The way they can see the reality any barrier in between.
Yes. Okay.
So people or the follower of the school of thought of Irfan or mysticism.
That's right.
Are those who are of this opinion that we have to feel the reality.
That's right.
So they believe in Irfan or mysticism. They say, okay, put aside all these argumentative premises or all those narratives from the prophets or imams.
Okay.
So this is their approach.
But in terms of the Irfan Islami or Islamic mysticism, the Urafa say that you have to act according to the Shariat, I mean the obligations, and there is a framework for them, but still they believe that through the mystical intuition and the mystical discoveries, they can
this find is the only way we get you to the reality.
The reality or the truth that this exists in the divinity.
So Maktab Tafkik, with taking into consideration these two important things, Maktab Tafkik is holding this view that we have to separate between